Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Listen closely to the title of our next two lessons, and then I'm going to explain. The title is Hell and Who is Going There. Now, from the title of this lesson, it might appear to some that we're going into an area where we have no business and have no right. Judging the souls of people, that's the work of God, not man, and that's correct. But we're making no judgments based upon our own standards. We would violate the Word of God to do that. But are we not obligated to learn and respect the judgments that God has revealed in His Word? Well, this is what we propose to do in these next two lessons. Now, the very nature of the subject makes it unpopular. None like to dwell on the subject of hell. It's not pleasurable, but it evidently must be important, or God would not have told us about it. And being a Bible topic, it is a message that must be preached. In fact, we probably need to hear more sermons on the subject than we do. Now, there be some that would immediately dismiss this lesson in disbelief of the reality of hell. They deny there is such a place, or that there ever will be such a place. They deny that there'll be any punishment of anybody for anything after death. They do not think anybody will ever go there, even if there is such a place as hell. There are those who are universalist, who think that everybody will be saved and everybody is going to be in heaven. But friend, the Bible speaks of both the saved and the lost. Liberals and modernists, they deny the existence of hell and heaven. But the Bible teaches both of them. They simply do not believe the Bible is the Word of God at all, and therefore they don't care about the subject of heaven and hell. And there be some religionists who believe in reward, and they accept the reality of heaven, but inconsistently they deny punishment and deny the reality of hell. But the Bible teaches about both of them. What right do men have to pick and choose from the Word of God what they want and what they don't want, and cast aside whatever does not appeal to them, and only hold to that which suits their fancy? Why accept one and deny the reality of the other? Now, there are few who are willing to accept the severity of the teaching found in the Bible on the subject of hell. And being anxious to please, there are preachers who will omit the topic from their sermons altogether. And there are others that may mention it in passing, but they will water it down and smooth it over as best they can. But we're inclined to think that people would not be so quick to joke about hell and pronounce in profanity their desire to send people to hell if they knew what God's Word had to say about it and who is going there. Like heaven, our words and vocabulary and language cannot adequately describe the horrors of hell any more than our words can adequately describe the glories of heaven. But certainly enough is said, and in such a way, that we have no problem knowing that we do not want to ever go there. Well, let's raise this question. Is there such a thing as punishment after death for anyone? Let me read to you from Luke chapter 16. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell, and that's Hades, the unseen state of the dead, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Friend, was the rich man in punishment or not? Well, surely he was. And this was after his life on earth. He was in that realm that the Bible talks about as Hades. Now, that's not the final place of punishment, at least not as yet. But it is a torment after this life nonetheless. And that disproves the doctrine that some teach that there is no punishment for anybody for anything after this life. And listen to the warning of Jesus. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body. After that they have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you of whom you shall fear. Fear him which, after he hath killed, hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. And again we read, and these shall go into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Now, friend, these are the words of Jesus Christ himself. And he was talking about Gehenna. He was talking about hell. He was talking about the eternal place of punishment. Now listen to the inspired Apostle Paul. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye to be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 28 and 29. Probably written by inspiration by the Apostle Paul. Again he wrote in 2 Thessalonians 1 and verse 9, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Hear him again, the Apostle Peter. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them to the change of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old Noah, but saved Noah, the preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now notice, Peter, Paul, Christ, they all teach, yes, there is such a thing as punishment after death. Can there be any doubt in the mind of an honest person that the Bible teaches the reality of the punishment after death for those that are of the ungodly sort? And where is that place? What is it called? It's called hell. It's the word Gehenna. It only appears 12 times in the New Testament and is translated hell. It refers to that final place of punishment for the wicked. And Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 28, as was recorded similarly in the book of Luke, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. And again in Matthew 23 and verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Now, how is hell described to us? Well, I think when I think of the description about heaven and description about hell, I think of the word inadequately. It's not that God has not told us enough, but it is beyond our ability to comprehend how horrible hell is. The Bible says, "And the devil that dwelleth with them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever," Revelation 20:10. Again we read, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire," again from Revelation 20. And from Revelation 21, it describes hell as a lake which burneth fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And listen how it's described in Matthew 25. "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." The latter passage from Matthew chapter 10. And from Revelation 14 we read, "And the smoke of the torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Did you notice the terms that are used in Scripture in the description of this place called hell? Outer darkness, the weeping and gnashing of teeth, torment, pain, anguish, a lake of fire and brimstone. Friend, it's beyond our worst imaginations. Now, let us pause here in our study of hell and who's going there to just briefly now remind us there is the reality of this place. You want to believe in heaven, and I do too, and I believe it with all my heart, that God has promised heaven to those who are faithful, be obedient and faithful to Him. But the same Bible that holds out the great promise of heaven tells about with the warning of a place called hell, a place of punishment after this life, for those who make the fatal choices to go contrary to the will of God. And oh, how it describes the torment of it. We cannot read from the Scripture anything that will ever motivate us to deny the reality of this place. We cannot read anything there where we'll ever receive any comfort. It will be something that is of eternal punishment to those who are wicked. Friend, let's live our lives in a way, in a manner that God wants us to live. We don't have to be concerned about this place of hell if we are obedient to the will of God. The purpose of our bringing this to our attention is not to make a judgment on anybody according to our standards. We have no right to do that. But listen to me. You don't have a right to set aside the standards that God has revealed. And when God tells us of this place, we best believe in the reality of it. And we can know what God teaches concerning hell and who's going there. We'll have more to say on this subject then in our next lesson. We appreciate you listening. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.